Welcome to Finally Alive Radio, Sermon Edition. Today, Gary will show us the connection between Kabbalah, Genesis 6, and the Tower of Babel. This message will have academic terms, but please, do not be intimidated. Feel free to email Gary any comments or questions you may have. Email to radio@finallyalive.com. Now, let's get into today's message.
Now let's get into some Bible stuff. Let's go to the Bible. Let's look at Genesis 6. So I'll kind of, in a weird way, tie this all together. So Genesis 6, verse 1. When man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any that they chose. I've mentioned there's three parts to what Jesus does. There's three big parts already in Genesis in the first few chapters. Definitely the fall, right? Why does God send Jesus? Definitely the fall to fix what happened there. This is another piece of it. Granted, there is the flood. Without getting too far into it, this is another piece of it. What happened here? Remember, if you remember, we read out of Enoch. So man has already fallen. We've already got an issue there. But now we have these sons of God showing up, showing them how to be even more evil, teaching them how to be even more evil, right? They actually teach them how to make weapons, and that's what it talks about in Enoch. So man is evil, and then now we multiply that by whatever, 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, however you want to put that. So that's a huge issue already, and that wasn't the reason for the sons of God, according to the book of Enoch, right? They were here to do a different job, but here they go against God, and they actually do their own will. They want to actually run the show now. You don't do that with God's property. And that was the issue. So here they are taking wives. They weren't supposed to do that. That wasn't their job, according to Enoch. So verse 3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim, these are the giants, were on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. I don't know if this is a side note, but I'm just going to say this. Men of renown, if you look that up in the Hebrew, it's men, ish, right? Men of Shem. Shame, name. Men of the name. And if you remember in these books, Hashem, who's the name? The Shem, the name, but then there's the Shame, the word name, that actually means name. So this is a side note. I know I'm kind of rabbit trailing. It just hit me right now. But there's something about the name. God's big on names. And God's big on giving names. And you know, with Adam, we won't go into it, but chapter 2, I think, Genesis 2. What does God do? What does Adam do? He says, let me bring you the animals, and you name them. And that's an idea of authority, right? If I name it, I have the authority. That's the idea. What does God do? He names things, right? He names Adam. God renames, right? Saul to Paul, right? Peter. You know, so there's something about names that's a big deal. That's kind of a side note here, but men of renown, they had a name. All right, so just keep that in your mind. So verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart, and we know what happens. I'm not going to read the rest. You guys know the rest. There is a flood. God basically wipes out humanity, right? Fast forwarding, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And all of this will make sense in a minute here. So verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar, all for the Lord. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the sweet smelling savor, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intentions of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. That's a new rule, right? New policy that God has created there, right there. He's not going to do this again. Verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So we got some rules. This is what you're supposed to do. Go out, be fruitful, multiply. All right? The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird. Into your hand they are delivered. Verse 3, every moving thing that lives shall be for food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. So we got some more rules, okay? And for your lifeblood I will require reckoning. For every beast I will require it. And from man, from his fellow man, I will require reckoning from the life of man. Verse 6, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. So do you see the rules? There's some rules that God's laying down here. Verse 7, and you, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth, and multiply in it. So he repeats that one twice. Verse 9, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you. Verse 11, I establish my covenant. Okay, so he's establishing a new covenant. There's something new here. Go do this. Be fruitful, multiply, go take care of the earth, eat whatever I allow you to here, and don't kill anything innocent. Not a bad set of rules, okay? I'm going to fast forward here again to get to the point. But we did get the promise, right? I'm not going to do this again. We know that. Chapter 11 here, finally. This is the third. This is the third piece that the Lord actually ends up dealing with later. But here's the third, the trio here. This is the last piece of the problem. Verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. You guys know the story, but I'm just going to read it. Verse 3. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower. And what is this tower? This is obviously the Tower of Babel. We know that. But what are these towers? I think I've talked about this before, but we'll just mention it again. They call this a ziggurat. Weird words. And they actually have some to this day, some just old ones. So this is interesting. This isn't a place where they would necessarily go to worship. This was a place for the gods to show up. And what these guys, I think, were trying to do here, apparently, is, in fact, we'll just keep reading, and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. So these ziggurats are where you would call your deity. So I'm building this big, giant, you know, tower. This is where the deity is supposed to go. That's what these ancient people would do. These guys tried to do that with God. What do you think God's going to do about that? No, it's just not going to work, is it? It's pretty interesting what they do. They would actually consider this place the place where heaven and earth would come together. So if the heaven and earth came together, and notice that's what they're doing, they want to build it all the way up in the heavens. If I can build it all the way up there, we can go to the gods. And if we can go to the gods, we can talk to them, and basically we run the show. Do you see what's happening? And part of the proof of what I'm saying there is the tower with its tops in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. What's name again? That's Shem. There's an issue when you're going to go and mess with names. You don't play with names. Jesus, what? His name is the name above all names. You see, there's something about names. I'm not trying to get weird and Kabbalistic with names that, oh, you can't say the name. I'm not saying that. I'm not even trying to say, oh, there's the power. You know, if you don't say it, you can actually cast out a demon without saying in Jesus' name. I've literally seen it here. The Holy Spirit is within you. You don't have to say in Jesus' name. If you say it, that's great. It's only going to torment them. Awesome. Great. But the name doesn't have to be said. He's already in you. Okay, so that's a side note there. So these guys are trying to make a name for themselves, and they're trying to build this ziggurat, this tower. What are they doing? In fact, where did they get this idea? They know something, don't they? They know some weird thing. There's obviously some sort of demonic something that's lingering that has told them that, hey, if you do this, you can go and go into your high tower and be one with the divine, or invite the divine, or whatever you want to call it. And they make a name for themselves. So it wasn't just bringing this divine connection. They also want a name for themselves. They want to run the show. It's all about them and what they want to do. Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. So they're actually scared too. Verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man have built. So, uh-oh, right? There should be like an uh-oh right there. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. So God knows if they continue to do this, and, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do, we're going to have a lot of problems, aren't we? The other problem is, what did God say? What was the rule? And we just read it. That's why we read all that. What did he say to Noah? Be fruitful, multiply. That's the job. That's what I want my image bearers to do. Make more image bearers. That was the whole point. I want you to run the show on Earth as I run the universe, right? You run the show here because you're my kids, and I want you guys to do that. That's what I'm telling you guys to do. That's the covenant. What are they doing here? Not that. You see, they're not being fruitful and they're not multiplying. Maybe they are, but they're doing it the wrong way. They're bringing in foreign ways of doing things. God never told you to build a tower. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. So come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. So, that said, here's what's interesting, and we won't go any further with this. What happens in the next chapter? Genesis 12. You guys should know Genesis 12 very well, because we spent a lot of time in Genesis 12 in the other room over there. But what happens? Abraham is called. So, God sees this. He basically, if you will, he doesn't destroy them with a flood, but he does, in a sense, destroy their plans. It says here he disperses them basically all over the planet. So, in a sense, God says, I'm done with all you guys. So, if there's no God speaking to these people, then what? What happens? There are other voices. The demonic world obviously was there. I mean, Satan was definitely there. So, what do they begin to do? They begin to listen to other voices. God's not going to talk to you. You're going to listen to another voice. That's just human nature. We're spiritual beings, if you want to call it that way. And we're going to listen to something. That's where God shows up, picks his guy, Abraham, right? Abram at the time, and starts to talk to this guy. All that to say is this. This stuff, the Kabbalah stuff, it's all connected to this right here. The whole Tower of Babel, the whole dispersing of the people because they're not listening to God. And later on, what happens? With Israel, they get exiled. Where? To Babel. Babel's a foreign land. They have foreign gods. A lot of that stuff is right here. You just mix Judaism, what they knew of Judaism. Because again, God's not talking. God didn't talk for what, 400 and something, 430 years, I think? What are they going to do for 430 years, God not talking? They're going to take bits and pieces of what they have or what they remember and then mix it in with their foreign gods, and then you come up with crazy weird stuff like this. And of course, later on, we have Gnosticism in the New Testament, right? And you can see it just begins to evolve, if I could say it that way. So, but it all starts with this, the dispersing of people who had no God, who had no Yahweh, but they had foreign gods. We'll call them gods with little g's. That's what they would have called them, right? Pharaoh. He had his own. In fact, he was the god, right? Remember, Pharaoh's his own god. So, you know, a heads up here. All this Kabbalism that we're going to talk about, I want you to know where we are. We believe in God, Yahweh. I don't think this is anything that has to do with him. I think there's bits and pieces so far that I've read. But as you can see, if you didn't see the red flags, and then if you still don't see with Aleister Crowley being quoted in one of these books, wow, I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. But I just want to kind of lay that foundation. Let's know where this junk is coming from. It's not of God, definitely not of God. It's not a higher level of knowing God, it isn't. If God is going to tell us something, he's going to tell us straight up, clearly, plain as day. We were even talking about this, you know, God is light, right? In him, there's no darkness, right? If God is light, it's going to be very plain, you can see it. Some of the key words with this is what? Mysteries. It's all shadow. Darkness. Do you see the weird correlation with these things? It's just kind of weird. So I just want to kind of lay that down before we get into any further with this Kabbalah stuff, and we'll have some fun with it.
Finally Alive Radio Sermon Edition is made possible by cheerful givers like you. If you like to support us, please visit finallyalive.com/give. That's finallyalive.com/give. Thank you for listening to today's message preached by Gary Aris. We'll meet you again next time when we look at God's Word with your very own Christian counselor, Gary Aris, and learn how to be finally alive in Christ.